I'm going to be reading from John chapter 12. You don't have to turn there. I just want to read this section to you. It says, "The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.' And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him." Verse 17. "The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard that he had done the sign." This sign. Today we celebrate Palm Sunday, or otherwise known as Passion Sunday. But usually today is kind of a celebration of sorts. But one of the things that, and just so you guys know, another announcement that we have is we, a lot of the baptisms that we had scheduled today actually got moved to next month due to some scheduling issues. And so it's going to be quite a bit more somber than I had previously told you guys. And I think it's providential. Here's why. I have, in my years of pastoral ministry, noticed that right before Christmas and right before Easter, there's a continual spiritual attack that happens. It's even little things like last night, my truck broke down, no big deal. It's in my driveway. But it's, that's part of it. Like, just little things. My wife had a dream last night that there was an attempt to spiritually demon-possess her and scared her. And then I got up this morning to use my son's car, and it was out of gas. It's like, all right, Easter's coming. Easter's coming. And all that to say that it's been like this throughout most of my Christian life, since I've been in ministry anyway, in pastoral ministry. And so not only do I want to prepare us for Easter, but I also want to take this message just not from this Sunday, but also prepare us for what God is doing in our community. For those of you that don't know and are visiting, I'm new to the area. I've been here about a year and 7 months now, maybe 8 months. And so we're revitalizing this church, and we're seeing God do some amazing things. Next month, hopefully, by the grace of God, we'll see 4 people get baptized. And they're all scheduled anyway. I don't know what's going to happen. But we're continually seeing God do some pretty amazing things. So I just want to take a somber moment during this sermon. And hopefully that's why I brought this to sit on, so I wouldn't get all crazy and get all enthusiastic and then go too long. I wanted to keep it today short and just kind of have a pastoral confession that there is a spiritual realm that's out there that is against us, and that we need to prepare our hearts and in hopes that the gates of hell will be pushed, darkness will be pushed back, and that you'll be under the protection of God as we see God do some pretty amazing things here. And so if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 6, that is on page 979 in the Pew Bibles. If you don't know how to negotiate your way around Scripture, you can take that. If you don't have a Bible, please take that Bible home. That is our gift to you. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be starting in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It's on page 979. Page 979. John Piper says that today is Palm Sunday. We picture ourselves welcoming the King into our city and into our hearts. We picture ourselves welcoming the King into our city and into our hearts. It's interesting to me that 6 days after these people were singing Hosanna, that 6 days after they were saying, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel, that they are yelling, crucify. This same crowd that is praising him as king are yelling out, crucify. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. One of the things that I want to see is for us to prepare and to know what we're up against. Now, if you're here, I just want to be super clear. If you're here and you're kind of kicking the tires of Christianity and you wouldn't necessarily consider yourself a Christian, or would say maybe you're a Christian but you're not necessarily a part of a church, this would be a good sermon for you to kind of listen in to see what this stuff is all about. But this sermon is definitely for those that would call GVC our home, or call GVC home. One of the things that we see here in this scripture is that we're called to be strong, not strong in ourselves, but strong in the Lord. And our strength comes from his might. And then there's this thing called the whole armor of God. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Have you ever been face to face with a demonic? I have. It's scary. You ever had a dream that you've been crushed, being crushed and suffocated on your bed? Heard that dream multiple times. You're not alone. Has your car ever broke down right before Easter? Like every Easter. What we're seeing in our city, and specifically even just little things like working together with South Coast Church, is we're seeing the powers of darkness being pushed back, okay? And we're seeing that, well, first of all, I don't know if I need to be specific, powers of darkness do exist, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that there is a spiritual realm, that their strongholds holds over our specific city, that there's principalities and powers and they have names that are over our city, whether that be greed or comfort or lust. We see that Jesus is naming and names the demons. And they represent strongholds. And what I have seen as we prepare is that one of the things I want you to know is some of the things that might happen to you this week, this month, or this year, as you get more and more involved in the church, is that there is going to be a spiritual attack against your lives. And you need to know that. In particularly if you're still kicking the church of Christianity, or kicking the tires of Christianity. Kicking the church. Don't kick our church. Because the scriptures say that we need to count the cost of what it means to come into the kingdom of God. And I think a lot of us has put our hand to the plow and then decided to look back, but we're called to just completely and totally give ourselves 100% towards this. But oftentimes when we enter into trials and tribulations where the evil one comes and tempts us, we're just like, I give up on this. And I want to remind you, saints, that spiritual oppression that comes against you speaks to the reality that what you believe is true. Did you hear that? And so what it just said here as we prepare, and this is one of a few encouragements that I have for you, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. How many of you guys have had to quote that truth because it meant your life? What I mean by that is you have been and you have felt that spiritual oppression, and all you have is greater is he who is in me that is in the whole world. Greater is he, greater are you, God, that exists in me than all this spiritual oppression. And then you just kind of like, you have that moment where you're like Gandalf and you shall not pass. No? Just me? Don't be fooled, Christian. Don't be fooled to think that Christianity is some sort of game or some sort of cultural club. Mm-hmm. The things that we're up against are no joke. Christianity isn't here to make your life better or give you the marriage that you always wanted or secure your finances. Or Christianity is, I once was lost and now I'm found. And then we enter into what the world, like we are in this world that is darkness, and that the God of this world, Satan, in that one sense, been given authority, at least for a season, over the hearts of the people. And then now there is this thing going on, and then all of a sudden we pop up as a light in this darkness, and the darkness tries to come against it. Don't be fooled. So in this season, as we enter into Easter, the first thing is prepare, and that's the title of this sermon. The second thing is protect. Walk in the protection of the Lord. Look back on Ephesians, picking right back up in verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have a play in this thing, where we are asked by Scripture to put on the whole armor of God. The first one being truth, and it's symbolized in a belt. And that belt is basically the truth that we hold on to truth, because truth will hold you together, just like the belt that exists in the outfits that were back then. It was kind of what held everything together, what girded things. And then we have righteousness, that we protect our hearts in the gospel. And then we have feet, which is our foundation, the very things that we stand on. And according to 1 Corinthians 15, it says, now I'd remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, in which you received, in which you stand, the very gospel of peace. The shield of faith, where we quench the darts of the evil one. We take these things up as Christians. I know some people that ritually go through this every day, and they put the whole armor of God over them, and but what the truths are, it's not so much that you get up and you pray these things over you, but that prayer can remind you of what exists. The tools, if you will, that you have as a Christian. That when we walk somewhere, we can be reminded that we are ambassadors of the gospel. That we have a helmet of salvation that is a reminder of the fact that we are sons of the living King, that we are light. That we have a shield, that when Satan comes in and accuses you of all the sin, like when we were in confession, that self-condemnation that can come up, that continual, like, you're not worthy, and it can be kind of where you could just start to get beat up, but you can stand knowing that the shield that you hold and the faith that you have is stronger than the lies that can be thrown at you. Comes so subtly, doesn't it? Can we be honest? I'm trying to talk. It comes in a whisper. Or just in a thought. Hey, you're not worthy. You're not going to make it. What do you do in those moments, church, when you hear those lies? You hold up the shield of faith. And the cool thing is we get to say, you're right, I'm not worthy. But by the grace of God, I am who I am. You're right, I got nothing to bring to the table. But by the grace of God, I'm a son of the living King. And we take and they get quenched in the shield of faith. Helmet of salvation, and then the sword, which is the word of God. I still believe that we should be memorizing scripture. I know that we have gotten into a very interesting age, and I've even said it from the pulpit that we're not to be the people that are distant from others, where we just say, hey, take these two scriptures and call me in the morning, right? Like I've said that before. However, I do not mean when I say that there isn't power in the Word of God. I think sometimes we quote scripture over people because we don't want to get our hands dirty with their mess. We just give them a scripture so we can keep them over there. That's what I mean by don't say, take these two scriptures and call me in the morning. But to clarify, I do believe that there is power in the Word of God. That we can quote scripture over situations in our lives and feel the strength and the protection of God. So that we can take up the sword. We have a shield and a sword. If that's not a cool picture, I don't know what to tell you. Men, right? Where are you guys at? Yeah, okay, now you're getting it. And we're called into a battle. We have a shield in one hand and a sword in the other, and this is our faith, and this is the word of God, and we push back the darkness. We push it back. There's no room. So I just want to be clear this. If you have believed in lies, if you haven't been memorizing scripture, if there's still dust on your Bible, there's no room for condemnation in these things. Today, change. By the grace of God. Today, understand what we're up against as a Christian. As we enter into the Easter season, yes, but also overall, as we see the kingdom of God move forward and darkness pushed back, we need to be aware of these things and take the tools that God has given us to stay prepared for the battle that's ahead. And so again, we take up the whole armor of God. We have truth, we have righteousness, both found in the gospel that Jesus Christ is truth, and we have a righteousness that's not our own. Isn't that amazing? That through the justification of Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, that our sin was put on the cross of Jesus Christ, and then his righteousness, called the Great Exchange, was granted to us. Now picture that as a shield over your heart. As a shield, a breastplate of righteousness, that this is over you to protect. And then we take up the shield of faith so that we remember and we realize, man, I am protected by God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel is our feet, our faith, our helmet of salvation, who we are, who Christ is, what Christ has done. And then we take up the sword in offense. Not just defense. We bring this word to others. Look, as we continue in the scripture, look at verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all power and supplication. So one, we protect. We protect ourselves, our own spirituality, our own understanding of the gospel and our beliefs. And then we protect others through prayer. Praying always. Look what it says. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Paul, in a second, is going to ask for prayer for himself. Church, we need to be a praying church. And again, I'm not looking for condemnation, and I'm not looking to motivate by guilt. But if we want to be prepared for revival, for what I think God is doing here, we need to be a praying church. You guys remember the first sermon I ever preached? Before I went through the whole hiring process, before I went through any of it, I was here to kind of check you guys out and stuff like that. Remember the very first question I asked? Do you want revival? That was the first thing I said from this pulpit, even before I broke it. It doesn't quite work as well, but I stood up here and I said, do you want revival? And your answer was, okay. And then I said, are you sure? Because what it means to have revival is that your traditions and the things that you kind of bring to the Christian equation and the legalism that you can bring in and all this stuff, that there'll be a point when you're looking at somebody that is so far away from your tradition, your style, your culture, your economic background, that the only thing you have in common is Jesus, and you're going to have to disciple from that point. That's called revival. Are you sure you want that? And these guys still said yes. A few of you did anyway, and that was all I needed. How do we get there? How do we get to that point where it's like I can't take my politics and I can't take my Christian niceties, if you will, and kind of apply them. I have a drug addict in front of me that I have nothing in common with except for he wants to know Jesus, and that's all I can give him. How do you get there? You pray. You get on your knees and you pray. You pray over the city. You pray for our church. You pray for the leadership in this church. You pray for the people in this church. You pray for the big church over this city. You pray against spiritual strongholds and principalities and powers over this city in Jesus' name. And you pray. You get on your knees and you humble yourself before an almighty God and you say, God, would you please bless our city? Would you bring revival, God? And then you just sit there and you pray, and all of a sudden it's like you feel this thing in your heart where it's like God's calling you to repentance, and then you repent. You're quick to repent. Lord, forgive me. And then you go back to the whole armor of salvation. You don't walk in self-condemnation. You don't look at it as easy grace, but instead you see that Christ died on the cross for that sin. And it's for freedom you have been set free. And you live into that freedom, and then you let your prayers reflect it. You get on your knees again, and you pray. So that in hopes that God will create that opportunity for you to be able to share with that person. One of the things over at South Coast, when I first got to know Pastor Reno, as we were getting to know one another, he said, and I resonate with this, I'm like, what do you want, man? How can I pray for you? Like, what do you really want? Because you know what I want, man? Because I remember a day when a guy would walk into a church on drugs. And not only would God sober him up, but he would never, ever be the same, and he would never look back. Like, the power of God was so powerful that it was like, boom, and then somebody would just be changed in Jesus' name. He goes, it's been a long time since I've seen that kind of power. Man, I'd love to see that here. I'd love to see that for Luis. That in Jesus' name, he would never look back. That the brother would just, the demons that are holding, that they would flee in Jesus' name. He'd put his hand to his plow and be discipled and delivered and walk to the grace of God, to his glory, to God's glory and his joy. Like that's, so how do we get there, church? We pray. How do we get healed from those things that are deep with that? We pray. And by the grace of God, we see, we begin to see changes in our lives and in our church and then in our city. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. The rest of verse 18, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So number one, protect. Number two, pray. Number three, persevere. Persevere. One of the things that is great about Christianity is that even if we have the flight, like there's the whole fight or flight type personalities, that even if we have that kind of flight personality, when the power of God rises up in us, there's something that happens to us that has us step forward. And that's perseverance. It's long obedience in the same direction. And I said last week, many of us would say, you know, if I said, would you die for Christ, what would we say? But will you live for him? In the mundane, in the day by day, and in all the small things. So you want to go out in the big blaze of glory, right? Will you die for Jesus? Yeah! Okay, then just simply live for him. Oh, that's not as cool. But that's perseverance. Step by step by step. And then here's what's crazy is the attacks become contradictory. So when you get attacked, because you're stepping forward, it's like you get attacked and it helps you realize the reality in which you live in, that you are not of this world, that you are part of another kingdom, that this is not your home, but heaven is your home, and people are coming against you, moving the kingdom of God forward, so you step forward and you start to pray and you're like, in Jesus' name, and then you start to get that authority. It starts with that step-by-step perseverance. Here's another thing that comes under the idea of protection. I got a vision when I was praying over the city not too long ago. And that the spiritual oppression over the city is low. So it's just not. It's in the gutters. But there's still this idea that saints, even Christians, will be walking along and let lust kind of drip in, or let greed or covetousness, and these different types of sins, and they'll be almost like a reaching up, and then it's just like a small little stronghold over your life, just a little foothold. And if we don't repent, which gives us the power of God to get that thing off, right? To shake off the oppression. And the lies and all the things that then what we end up having is we have a bunch of saints that are wrapped up in chains. They're tied around them and they have no power over them, but they think they do. We persevere step by step. And when we persevere in things like repentance and faith and realize who we are in Christ and all these things, then we're set free from that spiritual oppression. And here's what I mean, church. Walk in holiness. And where the areas that you don't, repent. Repentance is not penance. Repentance is I'm worshiping God and I veer and my worship goes elsewhere. And then I realize that this is happening and I sin. And then I turn my gaze back towards God through the cross of Jesus Christ to where I am back into worship the correct way. Here's the cool thing. A life of repentance is a life of worship. But that's where we persevere. Every moment, every word, every second of the day as we walk. So next time you're walking down any street, you know, kind of look down at the gutter, the street gutter that's right there and go, no way in Jesus' name. Like, it's not going to hold me. And you persevere. And you show the faithfulness that God has called us to. By your faithfulness, we show God's faithfulness. And so we persevere. And the last point that I have for you in verse 19, well, just pray. Praying at all times, starting back in verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Protection, pray, persevere, and then lastly, proclaim. Proclaim. These areas is what it looks like to prepare, that we will proclaim with boldness our testimony. That we would proclaim with boldness just the simple things that are going on in our lives. That we would proclaim the kingdom of God has come near. Revelation 12, 11 says, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and their word of their testimony. Man, it's the gospel. And my life being affected by the gospel in word to another person conquers Satan. Isn't that crazy? That me sharing my testimony of how God saved me, that I was not looking for God at all. And then he saved me. He revealed himself to me. And then he showed a love to me that I didn't deserve. And then he revealed the gospel to me and showed me the way by which I can then be saved. And when I share that testimony based on the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is by the blood of the Lamb, Christ's life, death, and resurrection, the gospel, that Satan himself will be pushed back. If I could have the band come up. Church, I know I'm usually not this somber, not this monotone. Some of you actually are probably enjoying it. Like, I kind of like this, kind of calm. But I want to remind you of something. That the same people that cried out, Hosanna, blessed be him who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel, cried out, crucify. We're that whimsical in our belief. Don't let the spiritual oppression begin to come over you so much so that you flip on your belief. And but instead, when we cry out, Hosanna, let it come from a place of a prepared heart. Protection by the grace of God through the tools that he has given us, that we begin to walk and we take those things and then we pray for the church and we pray for the saints. And then we persevere step by step, crying out, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then we proclaim that. If you would please stand. Let's proclaim this song.